want to read from two places in the scriptures. The first is Psalm 84. Psalm 84. I was busy looking at my watch because our chairman told me yesterday how much time, or rather today, how much time is allocated for the address. Psalm 84, verse 7. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 verse 9. For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. We know that the theme of this conference is move forward, moving forward. In other words, the Spirit of God is bringing us to an emphasis that right at the beginning of the year, He will want us to hear and hear again and know that His counsel for every one of us is to move forward. Those who are in the sciences say that one of the characteristics of living things is that they grow. One of the characteristics of living things is that they grow. It is God's will, number one, for us to be moving forward. If you look around you, there is what I call the gospel of nature. If you look at the positive side of nature, it teaches you so many things about God. In the epistle of Paul to the Romans, Paul said, even the invisible things of God are clearly seen by the things that were created. The positive side of nature teaches so much of God. In that place, Paul said, even as far as the Godhead, if the Lord will open your understanding, there is a message in a tree. There is a message in that flower that you are looking at. There is a witness unto God in the fish that you are looking at. Every living thing witnesses or is a witness unto the Lord. And you will notice that everything God creates attains its fullest, God's fullest purpose for it, by growing. There is no living thing that you look at, and I'm talking about living things, I'm not talking about those ones that are not living things, like mountains. Mountains are living things, stones, the dust. Living things. The path that God has created for living things to attain to their maximum potential is through growth. Growth. So you see the tree you are looking at once upon a time was a seed. The same thing with the flower. The same thing with the animals. The same thing with us, human beings made in the image of God. Everybody here knows we did not start like this. The process of our creation physically started when the gametes of the man and the woman fused. And in the fusion of the gametes, life was created and growth started. Everybody here knows that. We were taught that in your O-level biology. And it continued for 9 months or thereabouts until you were born. Living things all over. One of the ways they attain their maximum potential is through growth. God wants us to be increasing. God wants us to enlarge. God wants us to expand. It is the will of our Heavenly Father. The ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ is largely, or can be captured in the theme of this conference. Jesus came to people and he met them the way they were, but he did not leave them the same as they were. If they believed in him, he moved them forward. He moved them higher. Moved them forward, moved them higher. In John chapter 5, he met somebody who had been lame for 38 years and spoke into his life. And there was a turnaround. And he moved from what he had been for 38 years and experienced a change and experienced a breakthrough and was never the same again. God wants us to move and continue to grow and continue to expand and continue to enlarge. But any growth that is of God is constructive growth. Any growth that is of God is controlled growth. Uncontrolled growth is cancerous growth. When you hear people have cancer, it is that certain cells within their systems have just gone right. They are running riot. They are growing, but they are not growing in the normal way that the cells of the body are expected to grow. They grow and they grow so fast. And as some of us have heard before, after some while, they are told that, you know, the thing has spread, it has spread. It is a multiplicity of cells, but it is happening in a way that is unedifying. It's happening in a way that brings death. It's happening in a way that is not of God. Growth that is of God is systematic. The Bible says in Mark chapter 4, when Jesus was teaching about the kingdom of God, he said, the kingdom of God is like a seed that a man puts in the ground and it goes to sleep. When he comes back, he finds that his seed is mutating. And he said, from the seed, he finds the blade. In King James, he calls it the blade. And from the blade, then you have the air. That is Old English. And then it says the full corn in the air. Talking about, you know, the initial grass that shoots up from the ground. And then you have the shoot. And then you have the plant. And it continues to grow. But it was a seed in the beginning. That is God's way. That is God's method. That is God's metaphor for life. Therefore, you find that any growth, whether it be the growth of a fellowship, or the growth of a church, or the growth of any kind of growth that is of God, is systematic. Any kind of congregation, and I do not say this to be critical, I dare not do that, we are in the presence of the Lord and his people, but I say this as somebody that has received mercy of the Lord Jesus. If a church, a ministry is of God, you do not hear that they started last week and by the following week they are already 5,000. God doesn't do things like that. They started last month. This month they are already 10,000. God don't, unless they were somewhere else before and moved maybe to another side. That's different. But if it be growth, it's going to be systematic. It says first the blade, then the air, then the full corn in the air. Anyway, the point that I'm trying to push is this, that God wants every one of us to be advancing. You are a man under construction. Every one of us is in process. The Bible says, and we quote it so often, Jeremiah, and what the word of God says in Jeremiah, He says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, thoughts of peace, not evil, to bring you to an expected end. It's a process. And God wants that we'll be growing until eventually we come to the fullness of God's will for our lives. Tonight, by the mercy of God, somebody's position will change. Somebody's location will change. Somebody's capability will change. Somebody's accommodation will change. Our God is a God of enlargement. See how David started. God said, I took you from the sheepcote. David was the last in a family of 8 boys. He was number 8. By man's calculation, was the youngest. All the odds were against him. When he went in 1 Samuel chapter 17 to give food to his senior brothers who were in Saul's army, you remember when Eliab came and rebuked him when David was talking to somebody about what the situation was? He was somebody that was not, Eliab was not expecting him to be there, because he was young in age. He was not old enough to be in man's army. But in God's army, he was already a general. He was already an officer. Praise God forevermore. But the point I'm making is, from number 8, God moved him from the background to the foreground. That's God. And he was anointed before the family, before his family, in 1 Samuel chapter 16, and in 2 Samuel chapter 2, he was anointed before Judah. He was anointed king of Judah. 2 Samuel chapter 5. He was anointed king of the whole of Israel. That is how God moves. That is how God moves. God grants divine speed. But God is never in a hurry. Because all time is God's time. He's in control. And he does everything. He makes everything beautiful in his own time. Praise the Lord forevermore. Change, expansion, moving forward is his way. Look at Mephibosheth. The story of Mephibosheth is in 2 Samuel chapter 9. Mephibosheth was a prince, was a son of Jonathan. But in the day that war came to Israel, he was a baby. And the Bible says, as the nurse was carrying him to run away from the battlefield, from the battlefront, he fell off. When he fell off, he became lame. Mephibosheth. But he was a prince. The prince became lame. The prince became handicapped. And that is the story of many people who are in the church today. Princes of God. Royalty in Christ. But they are handicapped. But we thank God for the grace of God that is able to handle any handicap. The story of Mephibosheth is such a fantastic story of grace. You go to 2 Samuel chapter 9, and the Bible says that King David sent that the announcement be made. Is there any of the household of Saul, of the household of David, that I may show the kindness of God to him? And the Bible says there was somebody there called Ziba. You mentioned his name. By the grace of God, at the right time, somebody will mention your name somewhere. Mephibosheth was not there. Ziba mentioned his name. And the king said that the reason he was asking for somebody from the household of David was he wanted to show the kindness of God to him. That's what grace is. Grace is the kindness of God. You know the story? They sent to where he was quartered. Mephibosheth was his quarter. He was quartered with somebody called Micah in a place called Lodeba. And they brought him from there to the palace. Under 24 hours, his circumstances changed. Under 24 hours, his wardrobe changed. Under 24 hours, his food changed. Under 24 hours, a man who was squatting in Lodeba became somebody who had 36 servants. Because David said to Ziba, he said, all your servants and all the people that work for you, of course, including Ziba himself, was to be ministering to Mephibosheth. So, even though God does not rush, God is able to build a nation in a day. There is something called divine speed. And I'm trusting God in this conference that somebody will enjoy divine speed. Somebody will experience divine speed. The kind of speed that the man in John chapter 5 experienced. 38 years. Again, that is the story of grace. He didn't go to Jesus. It was Jesus who sought them out. Jesus went to Jerusalem. And when Jesus got to Jerusalem, he went to the sheep market. And when he got to the sheep market, the Bible says there was a pool there. And Jesus went there. And the Bible says there were all manner of people there. Some lame, some blind, some halt. And of all the people there, Jesus zeroed in on that man. That's grace. And then Jesus went to him and asked him a question. Will thou be made whole? He didn't answer the question correctly. If somebody says, will thou be made whole? The answer is yes or no. He didn't answer it correctly. He failed the question that Jesus asked them. Still, God blessed them. There are times when God sets aside your unbelief and blesses you regardless. There are many examples in the Bible. He sets aside your unbelief and blesses you regardless. God did that with Sarah. Initially, she did not believe God. She was laughing. You know the story very well. But because it had to do with the purpose of God, and the purpose of God cannot fail, God visited them regardless. In the name of Jesus tonight, God will do a work of grace in somebody's life. Faith is basic. But you will find a couple of times in the Bible in which God just went around somebody who didn't have much faith and blessed him. In Acts of the Apostles, when Peter and John came to the gate called Beautiful, there was a man begging for alms. And Peter said, we don't have change. But such as I have, said Peter, give I unto thee. And says, rise up, take your bed and walk. In the context of the story, the man didn't answer. The Bible says Peter grabbed him and pulled him. It wasn't a consequence of his failure. It was a consequence of God's grace coming to him regardless. The Bible says Peter pulled him, and then he was healed. And I'm trusting God that tonight nobody will go empty-handed. This conference is about moving forward. And by the grace of God, every one of us will experience God's move. God will lift us where we have not been able to lift ourselves. What can we do? Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. I must help you. If I don't help you, you are helpless. If I don't help you, you are helpless. And tonight, by the mercy of God, I lift the grace of God in this meeting to come to the help of some of us, or all of us, or any of us, whoever needs God's visitation of grace for lifting, may the Lord touch you with it in the name of Jesus. Too many people in the Bible who didn't quite understand what God was saying, but God blessed them regardless. That is not to disqualify faith, because I'm going to talk about faith in order to move forward. So it is the will of God for us to move forward. Look at Jephthah. Look at Jabez. Their stories are the stories of people who were down below, but God came and moved them. Circumstances relegated them. God moved them forward. Jephthah was ostracized because his mother was a harlot. And the people punished him for something he was not responsible for. He didn't choose a harlot to be his mother, but that's the world. Sometimes it happens like that. You suffer prejudice. People relegate, they punish you, they look down on you. And it's not really your fault. And he went to the land of Tob and was living there. And soon enough, the people encountered the challenge they couldn't handle. And wisdom came to them that the one who could bring the answer was the man they had ostracized. And they swallowed their pride and went to Jephthah. You know the story very well. And he gave them his condition. And they said, it's all right. And from that place, from being an exile, God brought him back. And he became the captain of his people. I prophesy to somebody in this meeting, where you have been rejected, there, by the grace of God, they will celebrate God's grace in your life. Where they have looked down on you, they will see you again. And when they see you again, they will see what God can do in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. So it is the will of God. Number two, you have to have a great desire to live where you are and move forward in God's direction toward what He has said before you. You have to have a great desire. If you check the Bible, brothers and sisters, you will never find anybody who was blessed mistakenly. Nobody was mistakenly blessed. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 1 verse 8, it says, as Daniel was in Babylon, he purposed in his heart. Praise the Lord. That was the point of departure. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat and with the king's drink. That was the beginning. There was an inner fire. There was an inner flame. Something was kindled from within. Men don't become their best until they catch fire inside. What many of us need is a little bit more to see what God has said before us and to be ignited in our inside. I tell you, I've seen people who caught inner fire and it changed their lives. I usually give a very an example that is not even directly Christian. When I was in the secondary school, in my class, we were all boys. And one day, our teacher was not around. So we decided to just, play. And as we were in the class, somebody would get up and they would say, "What do you want to be in the future?" He would get up and say, "By the grace of God, I want to be an engineer." Another one would get up and say, "By the grace of God, I want to be a doctor." So it came to the turn of one boy in our class. And he got up and he said, "I'd like to be a doctor in the future." Immediately he said it, all of us started laughing. The whole class started laughing. You know why? Because we knew his academic competence. And we thought he was overrating himself by saying he was looking forward to being a doctor. You know what it means to be a doctor? You have to be very, very bright. And he wasn't that bright. He was just average at that time. So we thought he was overreaching himself. We laughed. And we didn't know that as we laughed, this boy took it as a challenge. He didn't talk because for a class of boys, if he had talked, we would have beaten him up. Yeah, so he didn't talk. The next thing was that in our next exam, this boy who used to be somewhere in his maths in different subjects at best, average, they would just call first, second. They would call his name. And it was not one subject, it was not two, it was not three, it was not four. So all of us were effectively silenced because he decided, God helping him, that he would silence his detractors. And God gave him the grace to be able to do it. My wife knows the person. Today he's a professor of medicine in the University of Lagos. Just because he caught fire inside, we laughed at him. Today, we laugh with him. It is as your desire increases that God is able to work the more in you. Bible says in Matthew 5, 6, it says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for that they shall be filled." So there is need for a passion to increase, to be enlarged, for God to be able to move us to higher ground. God doesn't mistakenly bless anybody. If you are satisfied with what you are, God will leave you. He will send people to you to encourage you, to bring you His will through His word. But after hearing all of that, if you decide you will move, God will be looking at you. Because God has given you the gift of life. And He watches you as you live that life. He doesn't force you. Everybody here knows that. So that's God. There has to be an inner desire. There must be an inner passion that is driven because you've seen something that others do not see about yourself. God is asking you to do this, and you say, by the grace of God, I will get there. You try and you fail, but you get up again. You try and you fail, but you get up again. Because you know there is nobody ever succeeded who didn't fail before. I had a preacher, I was preaching somewhere, and said he never failed before. I said, no, he just lied. He just told a lie. In fact, I met some of his classmates who told me, he shouldn't have said that. He said, those days we were in tech together, and he failed. That was why he changed. He used to be in SBS, and he left SBS, and he went to another faculty. Why did he say that? I said, well, I don't know. Some people get carried away when they are preaching. But even if you never failed an exam, you probably failed in character. You probably failed financially. There is nobody in this world who never failed. When we talk about failures, not just in terms of examinations in the class or academic tests, we're talking about failure as a whole. Nobody is today regarded as a success, but he failed before. So if you failed before, thank God, you are in good company, because all human beings, somebody said, it said, all men fall, but the great ones stand up again. So if you fall in Christ, that's not your position. You will stand up again, because you are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Anyway, because of my time, there has to be inner drive. Have you ever noticed? You've noticed this. Somebody says he cannot eat. He's been sick. And they've been trying to persuade him to eat. He has not been eaten. Then suddenly, his life partner comes in. And he says, Sister Angelina has just come from. They have not seen for months. Sister Angelina is his life partner. This brother has not eaten for months. And then somebody says, thank God. Bro, Sister Angelina has just arrived from Lagos. Sister Angelina will come in. And with the same spoon, she will give a spoonful of the same rice to this brother, and he will take it. What happened to him? Something touched his will. If your will is touched, your life will change. When you are discouraged, what happens is that your will is weakened. That's what happens. When somebody is discouraged, his will is weakened. So even before he starts, he's defeated. He doesn't believe in himself. He says, I will not be able to do that. And of course, he's not able to do it because his will has been weakened. What fires us inside is the condition of your will. By the grace of God, you will walk upon your high places. You will be what you were born to be. You must still be in the shadows now. One of these days, by the grace of God, the Son of Righteousness will be seen in your life with healing in his wings. There must be inner fire. You must say to yourself, those who don't believe in me today will see what God can produce. I might have failed this course, but by the grace of God, next time around, I will not only pass it, I will pass it very well. Your way. Things begin to open up to you when something ignites within you. Number three, for you to be able to move forward according to the will of God, you must not be satisfied with little things. Satisfaction with little can become a disease of the soul. Jesus didn't die for you so you might live your life as a mediocre. Jesus died for you, so in him you might be the best that you can be. Hello? And do you know all of us can be our best? Because being great in God, see, in the world, for you to be great, you will stand out and you will beat this person. With God, it's not like that. God is not asking you to beat anybody. God is just asking you to beat your own past records. That's all. Because every one of us is different. What I was born to do is not what your pastor was born to do. If we understand God, There is no competition in destiny. It's because people don't understand God. The way He looks at things, His parameters, that's why they live the way they live. God is not asking you to go and collide with everybody in the class like they do in when you were in secondary school or in university. You know, somebody has first class. No, that is not what God is saying. For you to be great, He's asking you, beat your past records. Be better than you were yesterday. Move forward. And this person may be a five-star Christian. If all God has given to this person is the grace to be a three-star Christian, God does not compare this person with this person. The day you realize that, you will stop being jealous of everybody, of anybody. Look, the day you understand that whatever we have by grace. Unto every one of us is given grace, but it's according to the measure. It's not the same measure. Oh, don't look me there. This mother that reads once and he remembers everything. Oh, don't look me there. All of us are not like that. God didn't create all of us like that. My own best will not be like His own. Are you listening to me? So if I sit down there and I'm comparing myself with him, I'm taking up an assignment that God has not given to me. The day you discover that, that day you stop competing with anybody. All you are trying to do or desiring to do is to be your best. God says, be your best. Be your best self. That's what God is saying. He's not saying beat this person, beat this person, beat this person. No. So you can relax. So after this person can preach, you can come out and preach your own. Because God is not comparing this preacher with this preacher, this singer with this singer. He's giving you your voice. Your voice is different from that person's voice. He sings his own. You sing your own and sit down. That's how to live life here. But we amass so much stress for ourselves. Because we are busy doing what God has not sent us to do. The sons of the prophet in 2 Kings chapter 2. There's a group of seminarians called the sons of the prophet. They lived through the ministry of Elijah. I'm trying to summarize it because there's no time. And now Elijah was on his way out. And they knew the tradition was that the mantle will fall on somebody. God had used Elijah to put an end to the worship of Baal in the land. They all knew it. Now, Elisha came and had been with Elijah. But he said to himself, this mantle, by the grace of God, I will collect it. He was ambitious. He was trusting God to be his best. In fact, when he told his master said, that's what you desire? Done. And he told him the condition. And Elijah was followed. But the sons of the prophets could not be bothered. The sons of the prophets knew what God was going to do. They knew that Elijah was going to go home. But none of them said, God, choose somebody from amongst us now. This man that you have used to disgrace Baal in this country, choose somebody to take his place from not one of them. They were just satisfied with announcement. They were just satisfied with spreading it. Jesus said in John 13 verse 17, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. The mighty name of Jesus, what other people just read off in the Bible or talk about, by the grace of God, you will experience it. I said you will experience it. So Elijah came. You know the rest of the story. He said, I want twice what you've got. His master told him the condition. And he trusted God and he got it. He was not satisfied with little. The sons of the prophets were not ambitious. There is another story in Genesis 21. Maybe that one, I should just read it with speed because of time. Genesis 21,
verses 14 to 19. 14 to 19, Genesis 21. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and the child, and sent her away. She departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat down over against him a good way off, as it were a bush up. For she said, "Let me not see the death of the child." And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said to her, "What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not. God had heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, hold him in thy hand, for I will make him a great nation." Verse 19. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. Hello? Many of us know this story. So the same Sarah who had persuaded her husband to have a child by their housemaid Hagar, now that push came to shove, the same Sarah said, "Look, I can't live under the same roof with this woman. She has to go." So Abraham again said, "Okay." What did he do? A loaf of bread, a bottle of water, and gave to Hagar and her son, told them to go. And then, of course, after some while, both spent. And they started to cry. And the Bible says God opened the eyes of Hagar to see a well of water. Are you following me? And Hagar went to the well of water and filled her bottle and went away. Which was a terrible error. They give you a well, you are satisfied with water bottle. What Hagar should have done was to relocate and be like Joseph in Genesis 49, who lived by a well. Hagar, her son, should have gone, should have relocated, and should have just moved to this place. Because a well is a place of exhaustless supply. Whereas that bottle will finish. I'm talking about satisfaction with little. Hagar was conditioned to be satisfied with her water bottle. And she just went there, filled her water bottle, and left. But I see tonight that God is calling somebody to the well experience. And he says, "Put behind you your days of the water bottle. I have something greater. I have something greater. I have something greater." And by the grace of God, you will not be satisfied with little. You will move to the larger place. You will move to the larger life. You will move to the larger ministry. You will move to the larger anointing. God gave her a well. She was stuck with her water bottle. Satisfaction with little. If you're satisfied with little, you will not be able to come to the fullness of God's will for you in terms of where he wants you to be. Satisfaction with little. Your faith must be robust in order for you to be able to come to the place where God wants you to be. Even though I have cited some examples of people that God blessed in spite of their unbelief, the commonest way you still receive from God is by faith. Amen. "My righteous one shall live by faith, saith the Lord. If he turns back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." The just shall live by his own faith. Faith is basic. God hates unbelief. So if you want to keep moving with God, you have to build your faith. And to build your faith, you don't pray that God should increase your faith. There is not a single place in the Bible where people pray to increase faith. No. If you want your faith to increase, Romans 10:17 says, "Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God." You don't pray to have faith. But you can pray that somebody's faith will not fail. In Luke 22, Jesus said to Simon, Simon, Satan desires to have you, that he may sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith fails not. But you don't pray for faith. But you can pray that somebody's faith does not fail. In the name of Jesus, your faith will not fail. Believe God for great things. If you can believe for it, God is bigger than that. He's able to produce it. He's able to do it in your life. And in the name of Jesus, he will do it. Another thing that will help you to push, continue to move forward toward God's maximum for your life is called prayer. Old time prayer. You are old enough to know that this world is not a play field. This world is a battlefield. Why did Jesus pray the way he did? No sin in him. The Son of the Most High, who could summon angels to come and legions of angels will appear. See the way he prayed. There must be something to prayer. Tonight we are not talking about prayer, but may the Lord cause you to fall in love with prayer. Yeah. It is with prayer that you push your way through this jungle of the world. I read to you from 1 Corinthians 16 now. It says a great door and an effectual door is set before you, and there are many advances. This and there are many, not but. This is and. So they go together. Show me the place of great possibilities, and I will show you the place of great opposition. That was what the children of Israel experienced. God promised them the promised land. But see the opposition they faced. So what happened? They fought by faith. That's what the book of Joshua teaches us, among other things. They pressed into their inheritance by faith. They did not give up. They were not chicken hearted. And in the name of Jesus, you will not give up. And you will not be chicken hearted. Caleb said, I remember what was promised me so many years ago. And I intend to have it. And he had it. In the name of Jesus, you will have it also. You have to, by faith and by prayer, press. Luke 16:16. It says, the law and the prophets were unto John. Since that time, the kingdom of God cometh by preaching, and every man presses into it. Luke 16, everybody should know Luke 16:16. The kingdom of heaven cometh through preaching, and every man presses into it. And I'm saying a major plank, a major means by which you press into it is by the force of prayer. By the grace of God, you will love to pray. And God has simplified the issue of prayer in the sense that you don't have to take any position to pray. You don't have to always kneel down to pray. You don't always have to stand up always. Any position that is convenient for you, insofar as your heart is touching the heart of God and you are uttering what comes out of your heart in faith, you are praying. It can be loud. It can be quiet. It can be long. And it can be short. You take your food, you bless it. How much time does it take you to bless your food? Lord, thank you for this food. Bless it in Jesus' name. And the Bible says, because you have said that, that book, that food is sanctified. That's prayer. So I tell people, it's not only long prayers. You can pray 2 seconds and it is effectual. In the name of Jesus Christ, you will love to pray. Because it is with prayer that you undermine the enemy. It is with prayer that you neutralize the foe. A great door is set before you, and there are many adversaries. What is an adversary? An adversary is anything that stands between you and your destiny. Whatever stands between you and your destiny is your adversary. Maybe sin, like I had was taught yesterday. Maybe sickness. Sickness can be an adversary because you are constantly sick. You are not regular at fellowship. You can't read your Bible. In that sense, sickness becomes your adversary. So many things. Whatever stands between you and the goal that God has set before you is your adversary. Finally, John chapter 6, 19 to 21. Finally, John 6, 19 to 21. And I want somebody to help me read that. John 6, 19 to 21. Something happened there that will happen here tonight. John 6, verse 19 to verse 21. Yes. 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 Thank you, sir. You see, you can easily just gloss over this and read it and not know that something spectacular took place there. Jesus said, "Fear not, it is I." You might have been facing certain things that evoke fear. But I want you to know that Jesus is not far from you. The Bible says, Jesus told them, "Fear not, it is I." And when they willingly received him into their abode, he says, immediately, Reverend, please don't be annoyed. Read verse 21 again. Verse 21. Oh my. As soon as they received Jesus into their sheep, something supernatural happened. Just breaking the barriers of time and space. I don't know where they were going to. Immediately, the sheep just materialized. It's like somebody is going to Maraba and he's here. And then something happens to him here. And then he just breaks the barrier of time and space. The whole distance between here and Maraba. And suddenly, he just materializes in Maraba. That's what happened in that place. God is going to do something supernatural for you. He's going to do it in such a way that all the time you have lost, by the grace of God, you will regain them back. God is able to do that and cause a man to go from behind to the front row by breaking the barriers, by breaking the hold of the adversary, by breaking and neutralizing time that you have lost. And in the mighty name of Jesus, he will do that in your case. Immediately they received him, they were at the place where they were going. By the grace of God, we shall get to our destinations. And we shall get there not in labor, not in sorrow. We shall get there with joy. Let us pray. Let us pray. Immediately they received them. They were at the place where they were going. My God. The Lord will repeat himself in your case. He will grant you a quantum leap. And it will cause you to just break the barriers that have been holding you back. Moving forward, that is our theme. And in the name of Jesus, we shall not be stagnated. All attempts to hold us down will fail. They are not your creator. They are not your God. Don't look at their faces. That's what the Bible says. You have no business looking at the face of Goliath. The greater one is inside of you, and is the one that walketh in you to will and do of his good pleasure. By the grace of God, you will get there. It may look so distant, but God knows what he's going to do. He will break the barriers. He will neutralize the impediments. He will destroy the adversaries. And at the end of the story, you will be at your destination. Just open your mouth as it applies to you. Just soak it in faith. And then I will pray and go and sit down. Immediately they received him to themselves. They were at the place that they were going to. They said, "Ah, I'm on TDB.
Ati debe. Ah.
When did we get here? He said, forget the when. How did we get there? Jesus is in your boat. He's the almighty formula. If he comes into your situation, the answer will materialize. Bobo, you are 38 years. He just came and balanced out the equation of his life. He didn't even know the Lord. They said, who told you to stand up? He said, I don't know. I don't know his name. Ah. How great is the grace of God. He didn't know him. He didn't answer the question correctly. He didn't go to Jesus. It was the Lord who found him out. I can hear the Lord saying, I have come to help you out. But it is, oh, can I know? Yeah, oh. Oh, he said, but I've come to help you out. 38 wasted years can be turned around in a single day. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Dear Father God, we thank you because you are the same. You do not change. That man did not have much faith. He didn't even have any faith. You took the trouble to go to Jerusalem, to go to the sheep market, to go to the pool, to search him out. Today, in the name of Jesus, somebody who has been in agony, I pray in the name of Jesus that today will be their day of visitation. May the Lord search you out. May the Lord pay you special attention. Who can query God? I want to wonder if you want to lay. There were blind people there. I said, I want to lay in God. He went to that man because he knew he had been in that case for a long time. And he addressed it. In the name of Jesus, the Father addresses your situation today. People had concluded, 38 years. 38 years. And all kinds of stories about him were all over the place. But Jesus came and in one encounter, his story changed. In the name of Jesus, in the charge that you have received tonight, that situation changes in the name of Jesus. And in John chapter 6, as the gladly received him into their boat, he says, immediately, been traveling all the while, they didn't get to their destination. And Jesus entered, only immediately they got to where they were going. Makolisitaya. I pronounce upon the people of God. Somebody here needs divine speed. Things have been dragging. Things have been crawling. Your journey has been slow, rather sluggish. But tonight, by the name of Jesus, receive divine speed. I stand here as the voice of God. I stand here with the name of Jesus on my lips. And I say, he who caused them to get to their destination immediately, immediately tonight, the Lord gives you your miracle. The barriers are broken. I said the barriers are broken. The sluggishness is stopped. From now forward, you will enjoy divine speed. You will enjoy divine speed. You will enjoy divine speed. Everyone, the Bible says in Psalm 84:7, they go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeared before God. As you've come to appear before our Father tonight, here in the name of Jesus, nobody will go empty-handed. I say we shall not go empty-handed.
Some will be revived. Some will receive inner fire. Some will receive a vision. Some will receive revelation. Some will receive understanding. But every one of God's people, he says, they go from strength to strength. We reckon with that revelation. And we say, as we leave this conference tonight, at the grace of God, we go with something extra. It was not there before, but the Father has put it there. We receive in the name of Jesus. We receive to the glory of God. We receive for keeps in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
God bless you, Sida. Just as we did yesterday, let's stretch forth our hands and pray for our Father in the Lord, that the Lord will replenish the anointing of God upon his life, and he will never fail in Jesus' name. Shall we pray? Thank you, Father. Because you have heard us in Jesus' name. We are going to take the offering. And we are going